This is The Sound of Vietnam, 68. A series of special programs recorded by KDTH correspondent Bob Woodward Jr. on his trip to Vietnam in April and early May. The programs are heard each morning at 8:15 on KDTH and each evening at 6:30 on KFMD. The programs are presented by KDTH in cooperation with the bankers at DBNT, 14th and Central.
Here we are early in the afternoon on top of Baldy. Is this Baldy Mountain?
LZ Baldy.
LZ standing for?
Landing zone.
Landing zone Baldy, and we're south of Da Nang and north of Phu Bai, I think, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And we're talking to?
Mike Ansel.
Mike Ansel, you're 20 years old, Mike, and who are your folks?
Mr. and Mrs. Charles K. Ansel.
Of where?
1023 High Bluff, Dubuque, Iowa.
Of Dubuque. And we're also talking to another Dubuque boy.
Rick Hosh.
Rick Hosh, you're 20 also, and what's your home address and your parents' name?
Mr. and Mrs. Joseph J. Hosh, 3100 Brumskill Road.
Okay, Rick, what kind of duty are you pulling over here?
Well, we were security for Chulai, and they moved us up here when the 196 left on some operation. And now we're security for Da Nang and between here and Chulai.
Rick, you've been over here now about how long?
About 6-7 months.
And during that period of time, you've been in Company C, and you've been out on patrols and on operations and things like that. Have you had any contact with the Charlies?
We had quite a little bit before we come up here, and we got here the first 3 days was out in the field. We had contact every day, and it slacked off, and we had it about 2 or 3 more times in the 10 days we was out. Mm-hmm. And we come back in to Baldy here.
Mike Ansel, how long have you been over in the Chulai, Baldy area?
I've been over here about in Chulai. We just come up with Rick here, and I've been on operations before this about a month. I was the same thing him, infantry man. I was out in the field, and then about a month ago, because of my eyes, and I come back on profile, and it made me supply clerk. So I take care of the supplies net in this area. I've seen contact quite a bit too.
It seems to me that it wasn't too long ago, and then Baldy LZ here was kind of a hot spot, and the Marines were here. Is that right?
That's right. It got mortared one time. I think LZ Ross got hit the worst on it was it about 4 months ago or something like that? And they got overran or something like that, one of their perimeter.
When's the last time that this particular landing zone or base of operations here has received any incoming?
Geez, I wouldn't know. It was before we got here, though. I mean, we hadn't received anything here. Maybe a little sniper fire or something.
Get some sniper fire, huh?
Yeah.
How far, Rick, how far out in the boonies do you have to get before you're liable to make contact?
Well, you can go 200 meters or anywhere from 200 meters to Cambodia.
Mm-hmm.
It don't matter. Just whenever they feel like shooting at you, they shoot at you.
Mm-hmm. Are there quite a few NVA or Viet Cong out in that area, to the best of your knowledge?
There's supposed to be a battalion, but they ain't all together. They're scattered around. And then there's a part-time VC. They're farmers in daytime and VC at night.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rick Hosh, when you go out in patrols, do you go both day and night, or do you go out for a long period of time? How generally are they conducted?
Well, we go out, and a lot of times we'll set up in the daytime. We'll set the mortars up, and line platoons will go out and clear 1,000 meters each way, and then we'll come back in, and then we'll probably move out at night to another location and do the same thing until our 10 days or whatever we stay out in the field is up.
When you're out in the field, say, for 10 days, do you have any direct contact with your base camp? Or?
Well, the only thing is choppers that resupply us and radio, and that's about it.
How big a unit is it that goes out?
What we're doing now, we're on road sweeps, clearing Highway 1 and the roads here. for mines while we're in here, and when we leave today, we'll go out in company size, and we're leaving this afternoon to walk to LZ Colt. It'll take us about 4 or 5 days to get there.
Mm-hmm. This will be a company-sized operation?
Yeah, and LZ Colt's a company base camp, and they'll set up there for about 10 days and work one platoon out in the field at a time.
Mike, when you're out in the field like that, is it true that you get a hot meal at least once a day?
Yeah, they try to get you a hot meal. That's what my job is now, is trying to get the guys a hot meal each day. A lot of times we're over, we have too many meals, and they get too much food, and sometimes they get not enough, you know. It's hard to say because they don't stay together a lot. They try to work in small groups, you know, like squad size or platoon. Platoon is about the most you like to work in out there in the boonies there.
And you help see to it that this food is prepared and properly packaged to be hauled by chopper out to these units which are in the field.
That's right. We go down to the mess hall and we make sure that they have everything that's necessary for them to have a hot meal.
Mm-hmm. What kind of operations were you on before you got pulled back because of your eyes?
Well, same thing. He was, we were searching and clearing villages, and we'd go down, we was making a heavy contact south of Chulai, right around, Litoy, all those Van Trongs and that, down there, the small villages and that, they're VC villages. They got out all open fire zone now, and that's all I did was just, we went on patrols and that. I was squad leader for about a week, I'd say. My squad leader got hit, was killed, and I was team leader most of that time, as a PFC.
Well, Rick, you're a squad leader right now, aren't you?
Yes.
What does this mean? How many men, for example, are you responsible for, and what kind of duties do you have out in the field as a squad leader?
Well, when we take the mortar out, I have 6 men, and one's a gunner, one's assistant gunner, and there's usually 3 ammo bearers, and the other's just a handyman. And, well, we just set the mortar up and pull security around it. Sometimes when the line platoons are out, we pull some of the perimeter with some of the people.
We were talking about these different size units, squads, platoons, companies. What is the normal complement of men for each of these 3 units?
Well, for a company, it's around 150. For each platoon, it's right around 45. And the weapon platoon, which I'm in, is about 25.
In a squad?
No, in a squad, a line squad, there's the squad leader and 2 team leaders, and each team has 4 men. And in my squad, there's just me and 6 men.
Mm-hmm. Where are the others?
There's 3 other squads, and there are 2 other squads. We only have 3 guns. And there's a headquarters section of each platoon, which consists of your radio operators and platoon leader, platoon sergeant, and FO, and such as that.
It seems to me you mentioned earlier in our conversation that at one time you were an FO. First of all, what is an FO and what does an FO do?
Well, I go with the line platoons, and when they get hit and they need fire support like artillery mortars, I call it in and adjust it on the target and whatever they want.
In other words, an FO is a forward observer.
Right.
Does this mean that you're out by yourself pretty much?
No. We're mostly with platoons. Now and then they'll stick us on a hill with just myself and a squad of people to just observe and call stuff in when you see something.
Now, Baldy here is a really a desolate looking area. A lot of rocks and sand. You've got a number of chopper pads. As a matter of fact, I understand that this base camp right here is supplied completely by chopper. Is that right, Mike?
That's right. Right now our company is in the field, and that's the only way they get their supplies through us. Right now there's just about, I'd say about 8 people up there in the hill that monitor radio, and we have a landline that reaches Chulai to our rear support, and we have everything sent forward to this place, and then from here we have a chopper out to our men in the field. And then just this morning we had we made contact out there. I was monitoring the radio up there, and we've made contact. They've used up most of their ammo, so that was my job just a little while ago. I went down the ammo point and picked up a few cases of ammo and then to send out a chopper for them.
While we've been talking here, there have been some mortar rounds being sent out. Do you know anything about that?
Usually HE or, I mean, H9, harassing fire. And I imagine there could be a fire mission. They've had one a couple times this morning. They support some of the troops out here around the perimeter and it's clearing and they search the people out and stuff.
Is this camp subjected at all to any kind of sniper activity out around this perimeter, Mike?
Yes, it is. I got sniped that third day here. I was supplied. See, well, our company was here on, our company before they went to Cove, LZ Cove, which is south of here. I was supplying the bunker lines with a Jeep. We supply on water and sea rations and that. And we had a supply of OP, outpost out there. And we went out there and we received sniper fire for about a half hour. And we returned it and we had to call a fire mission in. The people in my bunker did. They had a 50 and a 106 recoilless rifle up there. So they were pretty well set.
Okay, Rick, when you, you're out in the boonies, you're on patrol on operation, you encounter resistance or you make contact with the communists, what usually happens? Is there any pattern at all to what occurs?
Well, they'll just start firing at you, and usually they'll be behind hedgerows so you won't be able to see where the rounds are coming from, and then when you do start returning fire, then they'll get up and leave and you won't be able to see them or do anything about it.
But normally then you don't get to see your enemy. You don't see their faces or see them. You see maybe bursts from muzzles or flashes or something like this.
Yeah, but every now and then they'll stand and try to fight. That's if they're high on pot and dope and this stuff. And then you'll get some kills, or else if you happen to catch them in a village.
Excuse me, what was that again?
Unless you happen to catch them in a village and they're in there with their girlfriends and wives and this sort of thing.
How about mines? Do you run into much mining activity in this area?
When we first got over here, I think our second month here, in January, our company, the second platoon that I was with, walked in a minefield and lost half the platoon. And on that whole operation, they lost half the company due to booby traps and mines and this nature.
Bob Woodward Jr. has been interviewing PFC Mike Ansell and Richard Hush. Mike Ansell is the son of Mr. and Mrs. Charles K. Ansell, 1023 High Bluff. Hush is the son of Mr. and Mrs. Joseph Hush of 3100 Brunskill Road. This has been part one of a two-part series. The second part of this interview with PFC Mike Ansell and Richard Hush, recorded on Baldy Mountain in Vietnam, will be heard tomorrow morning on KDTH. This is the Sound of Vietnam, 68. A series of special programs recorded by KDTH correspondent Bob Woodward Jr. on his trip to Vietnam in April and early May. The programs are heard each morning at 8:15 on KDTH and each evening at 6:30 on KFMD. The programs are presented by KDTH in cooperation with the bankers at DB&T, 14th and Central.